Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show follows the career of Sam Fuller, the New York crime reporter who became a maverick director and took on Hollywood. I hope you enjoy the show. Film is a battleground. Love, hate, violence, action, death. In a word, emotion. So said Samuel Michael Fuller, who was born in Worcester, Massachusetts in 1912. He had six brothers and sisters. His father was a Russian Jew who'd changed his name from Rabinovich upon arrival in America. His father died when he was 11, and the family moved to New York City. When he was 12, he got a job as a newspaper copy boy, and by the time he was 17, he was a reporter. His elder brother, Ving, was a staff cartoonist on the same newspaper in the 1920s. It was whilst he was reporting that Fuller gained all his wealth of experience, enabling him to write credible stories. He covered mostly crime and spent long nights on the New York waterfront chasing up leads from the police department with whom he'd built up a relationship. He was the first reporter to cover the death of silent movie star Gene Eagles. He began to write pulp novels. Come the Second World War, he was drafted and became a rifleman in the 1st Infantry Division. His experiences in North Africa, Sicily, and Europe fueled his imagination, and he was able to write realistically about war. He began writing screenplays, and in 1936, Hats Off was made into a movie. Before and throughout the war, he was submitting stories and scripts for approval. In The Big Red One, his essential war movie, he's portrayed within the squad, constantly smoking his cigar and receiving rejection and acceptance letters from film companies. After the war, he continued to write screenplays, and in 1949, Douglas Sirk directed a script of his as Shockproof, but he was unhappy with the result. He signed to write and direct three movies for an independent producer, and I Shot Jesse James and The Baron of Arizona followed. The Steel Helmet was the first Korean War movie to be made just 6 months after the war had started. It was graphic and unbridled in its depiction of the grim realities of war, fueled by Fuller's World War II tenure. It was shot in 10 days in Griffith Park, Los Angeles, with a sum total of only 25 extras. It was immediately praised, and Fuller was lauded as a director of note. Here's the opening music to The Steel Helmet, written by Paul Dunlap. Following the good press Fuller received from The Steel Helmet, he signed a 7-picture deal with 20th Century Fox, and the first was another Korean War film called Fixed Bayonets. It was again shot in Griffith Park and was the film debut of James Dean. Richard Basehart starred alongside Gene Evans, who had been in The Steel Helmet. But Fuller disagreed with 20th Century Fox, who wanted to turn his script Park Row into a musical. Fuller refused and formed his own production company to finance the movie himself. It was a thriller set around two rival newspapers. Gene Evans again starred, and it was critically acclaimed but lost money at the box office. Fuller was back under contract at Fox for his next film, Pick Up on South Street, probably his most famous work. It starred Richard Widmark at the top of his game and Thelma Ritter in a superb supporting role, deserving her Oscar nomination. Widmark is a pickpocket who stumbles upon aspiring by picking the wrong pocket on a subway train. It's one of the great noirs. Marilyn Monroe auditioned for Jean Peters' role, but Fuller thought her too sensual. Shelley Winters and Betty Grable were also considered. Here's the song Mamselle by Edmund Goulding.
A small cafe, Mamselle. A rendezvous, Mamselle. The violins were warm and sweet, and so were you, Mamselle. And as the night danced by, a kiss became a sigh. Your lovely eyes seemed to sparkle just like wine does. No heart ever yearned the way that mine does for you. And yet I know too well, someday you'll say goodbye. Then violins will cry, and so will I, Mamselle. Just like wine does, no heart ever yearns the way that mine does for you. And yet I know too well, someday you'll say goodbye. Then violins will cry, and so will I, Mamselle.
Another less notable picture with Widmark followed for Fox, Hell and High Water. Then House of Bamboo, also for Fox, starring Robert Ryan as an army investigator in Tokyo looking into his friend's death. This is Serenade in Blue by Glenn Miller.
When I hear that serenade in blue, I'm somewhere in another world alone. Joys we used to know, many moons ago. Once again your face comes back to me, just like the theme of some poor forgotten melody. In the album of my memory, serenade in blue. It seems like only yesterday, a small cafe, a crowded floor, and as we danced the night away, I hear you say forevermore, and then the song became a sigh, forevermore became goodbye. But you remained in my heart. So tell me, darling, is there still a spark?
Fuller's production company then made Chinagate, an action movie set in the French Indochina War, but shot on a budget of $150,000 in Griffith Park again. Jean Barry and Angie Dickinson starred with Nat King Cole, who sang the title song.
Chinagate, Chinagate. Many dreams and many hearts you separate. Like two arms open wide, some you welcome in and some must stay outside. Bowl of rice, bitter tea. Is this all the good earth has to offer me? Will I find peace of mind? Does my true love wait behind the China gate? Will I find peace of mind? Does my true love wait behind the China gate? China gate. Thank you.
Fuller's Globe Productions then made Run of the Arrow with Rod Steiger, and it's one of Fuller's standout pictures. Similar in essence to Dances with Wolves, but shorter and tighter, and described as hard-hitting, brutal, emotional, and stimulating. Victor Young provided a great score, including this beautiful song, The Purple Hills. He then made 40 Guns for Fox with Barbara Stanwyck and Dean Jagger. It's an outstanding western with Stanwyck on top form as a rancher who gets what she wants. The opening scene is fabulous, and I won't spoil it by describing it. Harry Zukman provided another great score, and here's the main theme.
Thank you.
Sam returned to dangerous ground for his next picture, Verboten, about an American GI who breaks the non-fraternization law in post-war Germany. He'd left Fox by now, and it was made in conjunction with RKO. Harry Zuckman wrote the title song, which was sung by Paul Anka.
And we are forbidden to care. Verboten, verboten, the dream I treasure in my heart, a dream we're forbidden to share. It's just like forbidding the morning sun to rise at dawn, forbidding the stars to shine upon. For we
Globe Enterprises, Sam's production company, continued to produce good-quality, low-budget films into the 60s. First came The Crimson Kimono, then Underworld USA with Cliff Robertson, both solid film noirs. Harry Zuckman provided the scores for both, and here's the main title music from Underworld USA. Fuller wanted to make The Big Red One his view of the Second World War, and Warners agreed to fund it if he made Merrill's Marauders, so he agreed. It was shot in the Philippines with a budget of $1 million, with Ty Hardin and Jeff Chandler. He wasn't happy with the edit and fell out with Warners, so The Big Red One funding disappeared. Shock Corridor came out in 1963, in which a journalist commits himself to a mental asylum where a murder has been committed. Here's Paul Dunlap's main title theme. ¶¶ In 1964, he made The Naked Kiss, about a prostitute's attempt to reinvent her life in another town. She begins to work in a hospital for handicapped children, and hears Little Child, sung by the Children and Constance Towers.
Mommy, dear, tell me please, is the world really round? Tell me where is the blue bird of happiness found? Tell me why is the sky up above so blue? Of the sun when it falls in the sea, and who likes it again and why can be. Tell me why can't I fly without wings through the sky? Tell me why, mommy dear, are there tears in your eyes?
Little ones, yes, the world's really round, and the bluebird you search for, it surely is found, and the sky up above is so blue and clear. So that you'll see the bluebird if it should come near. And the sun doesn't fall in the sea out of sight. All it does is make way for the moon's pretty light. And if children could fly, there'd be no need for birds. And I cry, little ones, 'cause I'm touched by your words.
Fuller was fairly inactive for the rest of the 60s and 70s. He'd been discovered by a new generation of filmmakers, such as Wim Wenders and Dennis Hopper, and was invited to appear in their films. He did a bit of directing for TV, but deep down he still wanted to make The Big Red One. He finally made it in 1981. It was critically acclaimed, but failed at the box office. It was reconstructed and re-released in 2005, in keeping with what Fuller had originally intended. Gene Corman, Roger Corman's brother, produced it and was able to finance the whole of the shoot in Israel. Lee Marvin, Robert Carradine and Mark Hamill, fresh out of Star Wars, led the cast. Fuller submitted a 4-hour and a 2-hour cut, both of which were rejected by the studio. it ended up at an hour and 53 minutes, whereas the reconstruction runs at over 5 hours. This is Johann Strauss's Roses from the South. It's a very good war movie, and it's amazing to know that most of it actually happened to Fuller during World War II. In 1981, he directed White Dog, based on a novel by his friend Romain Gary. Based on a true story, it deals with the struggle by a dog trainer to reprogram a dog that's been trained to attack black people. It was right up Fuller's street, controversial to the extreme. Unbeknownst to Fuller, Paramount, the producers, ran the film past two consultants who concluded that the film would be boycotted, deeming it offensive and inflammatory. It was finished and lay unreleased in the US for nearly 25 years. Fuller was crestfallen and moved to France to seek solace. He was totally disillusioned with the American film industry's treatment of him and directed just two more films in Europe. For the rest of his life, he was accoladed for his achievements in film and became celebrated in France. He died in Los Angeles in 1997. Here's Death of a Dog by Ennio Morricone from White Dog.